Well, I appreciate the prayer that was gone before us. And, you know, sometimes I've heard and even said, you know, my hands are tied. And sometimes we feel that way. My hands are tied. There's nothing I can do about it. But I know that there's a God in heaven, that there's no one that can bind him, no one that can control him. And I can rest assured that all things are being done in accordance with his purpose and his will. And in reality, that gives me comfort, because I've seen the purpose of men and of mankind. It's not always pretty. It's not always comforting. So, we come here, and some of my thoughts have been on belief and the things that we believe and the things that we understand and know. But you know, we come here, and in Christ's time, they went to the synagogue or they went to the temple, and there was a place to meet God, to worship God, to talk about God, to think about God. And that's what we're doing here. We come to this place and we think about God, we talk about God, we try to understand more about God. In their sense, they were the children of God, the promised children of God. In our sense, in our condition, we too, as we understand Scripture, are the children of God, the promised children, the promised seed of God. And so we understand that through the things that God has put into our hearts and in our minds, that we think about God, but we don't totally understand everything about God. And some of us are weaker than others. Some of us are stronger than others. Some of us are better educated than others in the Scriptures and in the thoughts and mind of God. And so we come to this place to try to gain more understanding about God, to talk about what we believe, talk about how you believe and how I believe. And there's give and take. I mean, there's some things that, you know, I don't necessarily totally fall in line with some people's understanding, but that's okay. I might be mistaken myself. You know, I might be misled, but that's the purpose that we come here. It's the pillar and ground of truth. It's the place that we come to share our thoughts and our beliefs about God. That's the very thing that the Israelites did. Except they changed that, and they started, it became a performance, an act of concern, of trying to show others that they were concerned about God, when in reality they weren't. I'm going to look at Malachi. I've studied it a little bit. I have some thoughts in it. I've shared some of my thoughts with some of the others. I'm not going to totally get into everything I think about in Malachi, but I do want to look at the third chapter in the first chapter and some of the other things that may lead me to other areas. But I'm going to start reading in the third chapter of Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And then there's a really good question. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is in that first one, and it is a beautiful thought. And he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who may abide in the day of his coming? And that is being asked by the prophet Malachi to the children of Israel about the coming of the Messiah. And to me, it's a beautiful question. And it reveals to me the nature of mankind, the nature of Israel, the nature of his children, that we are desperately in need of a Savior, desperately in need of a deliverer of the condition that we're in, a deliverer of the nature that we are in. And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. And when I was looking at Malachi and when I was thinking about it, this next verse really stuck out to me. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And you think about that for a minute. I am Lord. I am the one that has all power in heaven and earth. And not only that, but I don't change. I don't change from one day to the next. My love is the same from one day to the next. My thoughts of you are the same one day to the next. It doesn't change one day to the next. It's always the same. That doesn't say that your condition in life is always going to be the same. But it's saying that his mindset is not changing. His mindset for us, his mindset for the sons of Jacob, the mindset for his children does not change from one day to the next. Therefore, the reason ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You're not consumed in that refining process that is going to take place whenever that fire is being placed upon us We're not going to be consumed by it, but we're going to be refined by it as silver and gold. But who may abide the day of his coming? I'm backing up to the second verse. And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So there's coming a day, according to Malachi, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Where is his temple? Is that the temple in Jerusalem? Is that the temple made with hands? No, it's a temple not made with hands. And he shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant that he will place into our hearts and in our minds, and he shall be a God to us, and we shall be children to us. That's over in Hebrews, where he'll place his laws into our heart and in our mind, and he will call us children. And who shall stand when he appeareth in? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And it's not just any offering. It's not just an offering. And if we back up and we look at not only Malachi but Zechariah, and we look at the priest and the things that the children of God were offering, were not acceptable things unto God that they were offering. Here in the first chapter, O priest that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will you be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that ye will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will ye regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. They were bringing things just as Abel and Cain. One offering was acceptable and the person was acceptable, and the other offering was not acceptable and not accepted. They were bringing spotted animals and animals that were not in accordance with the laws of sacrifice and of burnt offering. You bring, if you in those laws, if you're reminded of those laws, if you had an issue, you brought a particular animal or something for a sacrifice, and those things had to be in a certain condition. It wasn't the last part of the field that you brought as a sacrifice. You know, your first fruits. You brought your first fruits as part of your sacrifice to God. And same thing with the with the lambs and with the goats and with the cows and with all the other things of sacrifice. You didn't bring anything less than your best. You brought your best to present to God as a sacrifice for whatever you had done, or as in worship towards Him. Now, looking at this in the third chapter over here, "And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And then if we skip to the third verse, "And he shall sit as a refiner." It's Christ that is refining the children so that they are able to offer a sacrifice that is worthy. Something else in Malachi that we have talked about, and it's in, I believe, in Romans as well, Romans 9. And right here in the first chapter of Malachi, and I'll try to read both, but "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord." Remember, it mentioned that he's the same and that he doesn't change. "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Well, here in the first chapter, and I refer back to it, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob." And, see, there's a comma there. It doesn't stop there. "Yes, I love Jacob. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel." And then it goes into looking at the priests. "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" So he's looking at the priesthood as he did Esau. He hated what the priest at that time in Malachi's day, the things that they were presenting as offering to God. And they weren't acceptable to God. He did not like the offerings that they were presenting to God. They were not up to his standards, if you don't mind. "I loved you, saith the Lord," and I'll look at Romans 9 right quick. I may be a little exhaustive here, but I'll start before. Just so we'll get a I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the services of God, service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God had taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of the promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And so here in Malachi, prophetically, they didn't understand it necessarily, but he is telling them and reminding them and showing them that they are the children of God, that he, in the wilderness, whenever they were, after they had left Egypt, and as they were being brought to the promised land, that there were, he gave them laws and things that they should follow. And so Malachi, God through Malachi, is reminding Israel that because they're children, there are things that we need to do because we're children. And we're not... that's in Hebrews. And I can't get a handle on it, so I'm not going to quote it. But it goes along with, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. We have a great God who loved us before the foundation of the world, and through the fall of Adam, we are in a condition of sinfulness. We are in a condition of weakness. But through the Messiah and the work that the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, he is going to refine us so that we can present a good sacrifice. The only good sacrifice that we can present, and I'm speeding things up, the only good thing that we can present as children of God is the Lord Christ, who paid, he is the ultimate sacrifice. My sacrifices are as those things that the priests were trying to present. Anything that I do, anything that I say, are like those unacceptable sacrifices that were presented to God that he hated. But Christ, when we present Christ, that is the ultimate sacrifice, and as priests, kings and priests unto God, that is the sacrifice that we present. I know that there's a lot of loopholes and a lot of loose ends there, but at least you'll start studying maybe, and we can all study different things. So, Brother Gary, you've got some time.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you can tie up some loose ends.
Thank you, brother. Loose ends. Brother Joe and I are just feeble men, and we're not even ordained to preach. I don't know if we ever will be, but we've been asked to speak, and and we're told to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I pray for that all the time. Lord, give me light. Show me the things that I need to know. And I enjoyed very much what you brought to us, Brother Joe. Malachi pointing towards the grand Messiah and showing and telling them you're the Lord's people. I was thinking as you were talking about the first chapter of Hebrews, first three or four verses. I'm going to read them. You don't have to go there, but I'll read it to you. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, who helped him? Nobody. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, that has he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. When he had by himself purged our sins. This is what Malachi was trying to get them to understand. You know, the Messiah is coming, and he's going to purge your sins. It's going to be the perfect sacrifice. I enjoyed that, Brother Joe, and you prompted me to questions and studying. But it kind of ties along with what I had on my mind this morning, 2 Peter. The first chapter of 2 Peter. It's kind of talking about some of the same things. I'll read here the first chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us. I'm glad it didn't stop right there. Because my question would be, well, how do I obtain like precious faith? Well, you know, you're talking, these people have attained a precious faith. But he goes on to tell us how we obtain that precious faith. Let's read again. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How have we obtained that faith? Through the righteousness of God and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We didn't obtain it by our obedience to do anything. We had nothing to do with it. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, that hath called us to glory and virtue. And the thought keeps going. There hadn't been a period yet. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. What corruption have we escaped? You know, we're going to die. Our body, our fleshy body, is going to die, and it's going to go back to the dust, and that's going to be corrupt. But our soul and spirit is going to leave and be with our Savior, and we're not going to be left in that grave. Fifth verse. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Okay, now he wants you to add to the faith. Where did you get that faith? It said in that first verse, you've obtained it through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't say, get faith or do things to give yourself faith. He wants you to add to the faith that's been given to you. And what does he want you to add to your faith? He's going to tell you right now. Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charities. Here's some things that we get to do, brothers and sisters. Because you are who you are, you need to stand up and do these things. You know, I looked, as I was studying this, I looked up the definitions to these words. You know, you think you know things, but sometimes you look up like the word virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Virtues, behavior showing high moral standards. Add to your faith. Well, your faith is given to you as a fruit of the Spirit. Some say faith is belief. Belief is good. You were given that. Add to this virtue, behavior showing high moral standards. That's hard to do, isn't it? We're flesh. We're men. We're not strong. We fight every day to maintain high moral standards. Peter's telling us here, you need to add this to your faith. What else? Add to virtue knowledge. Well, we all know what knowledge is. Knowledge is understanding. We study the word to show thyself approved. Do these things, virtuous things, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance defined as moderation or self-restraint. Moderation or self-restraint. I always think, don't lose your temper. But also moderation. All things have moderation or self-restraint. Temper yourself as you go out and do these things. You're among the world and the world starts getting on you, you know. Self-restraint. Temper that. Don't indulge. And to temperance, patience. And I said, well, everybody knows what patience is. Well, I said, let's look it up anyway. Let's see what the knowledgeable people of this world, how do they define patience? The suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper, enduring without murmuring or fretfulness. Enduring without murmuring. Patience. Brother Kendall has patience right now as he's waiting on the Lord to move his hand upon his son. He's got temperance. He's not angry at God that this has happened. Maybe he doesn't understand. Things happen sometimes that we don't understand, but we're to have patience. Temper ourselves. And to patience, godliness. That's being devoutly religious. Piety, being religious or reverent. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Well, you know what that is. Be kind to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is a really sewed up in the word love. It's been a wonderful morning. I was fretful this morning as I was driving over here. I said, well, there's only going to be two or three people here. Nobody's going to be there. Everybody's sick. But the Lord fooled me, and he brought us all together. We had a wonderful song service. We had a great time listening to Brother Joe sharing the word with us. And you made me think, you prompted me to think harder. And we have a daily struggle every day to add these things to our faith. We were given the faith. You know, I know people that think, well, you know what? I accepted my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I went through this ritual, or I was baptized. I did all of these things, and I did what I needed to do. Therefore, I don't have to do anything else. I can just sit down. I don't need to go worship his name. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to fellowship with the saints. I don't need that because I've got the other things I want to do in this life. But I know I'm saved eternally because I did all these things. And I just look at him, you know, and say, I love you, brother. I hope you believe that that is true and that Christ died and paid for your sins. I hope he's shown you that, and I hope he continues to bless you in understanding. You can't really say anything to him. But I'm thankful that we have this little church here where we can come together as believing saints who know that we are saved by the righteousness of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And we're not supposed to sit down and sleep. We're to stand up and worship him and serve him and do these things that Peter says. Add these things to your faith. Be vigilant. Go up and be up and about. Go visit the sick. Go visit your brethren. You know, people need to see you. People love you. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. And let's stand and sing a song. Brother Josiah, do you have a number that we could sing? And 432. Let's stand and sing number 432. And after we have the first verse, if there's anybody that wants to be a part of this church, come and let your desires be known. And after the first verse, let's all exchange the right hand of fellowship with each other.